Today's shir is Masechta Chagiga, Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin on Daf Chav Vav and Beis, right after the Mishnah, Tapir Amid, as we be Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, on Masayim de Masechta. Tana, we learn in the Gemara, the Mishnah taught us that they would tell the Maratzim to be careful not to touch the Shulchan, or because they can't afford to let the Shulchan become Tamei. Says the Gemara Tano, but the Brisa says Hizaru Shematiga b'Shulchan Menorah. They would tell him not to touch neither the Shulchan nor the Menorah. Tana the Don. So ask the Gemara, why does our Tana not mention the Menorah? My Tana the Don, my Tama the Tana Menorah. Sends the Gemara Shulchan Ksibei by the Shulchan. The pasuk uses v'nusata al Shulchan lechem upon a tamid, that the lechem has to be on the Shulchan all the time, and therefore we have to be careful not to let it become tamei, because then what are we going to do when we have to have the bread on it? But the menorah likes sibay tamid, and then we can move it. So as the Rishonim explained, even though the Torah, when it speaks about the menorah, uses the words lahalos ner tamid, the Torah doesn't mean with the words lahalos ner tamid that the menorah has to be lit all the time. Because the pasuk says regarding the lighting of the menorah, mi'erev ad boker, that we only have enough oil, we only need to put oil into the menorah that it should be on at night. And therefore, during the day, when the menorah is, the lights of the menorah don't have to be on, you could take it to the mikvah. Whereas the shulchan, the bread, has to be on the shulchan all week long, and since the bread has to be on the shulchan all week long, we can't have an opportunity to take it to the mikveh were it to become tamei and still have the bread on it all week long. Tosfos Dvarei Maskil Menorah asks in the name of Rabbi Chanan, that doesn't it say that the ner meravi was on all the time? So we have the same problem with the menorah as we have with the shulchan. So Tosfos answers, there is no rule that we have to put on that the ner meravi has to be on all the time. On the contrary, we only put in enough oil in all of the candles of the menorah, including the ner meravi, that should be on all night. And therefore, even if by nes, Baruch Hashem, the menorah does remain on all day, not just at night, they could put that ner elsewhere, and it wouldn't be a problem that we're not using the menorah properly, and if it were to become tamei, we could take it to the mikvah, which, as we just explained, such an option doesn't apply by the menorah, by the shulchan. Vidach, and the Tan of the Braisa that says that just like we have to be careful that the shulchan remain in its place all the time, so too is the halacha by the menorah. Where does he learn that from? Says the Gemara, Kivin Dixiv as a menorah noichach ha-shulchan, the menorah should be put corresponding to the shulchan, command Dixiv tamid dami. So it's as if the Torah says tamid, not only on the shulchan, but on the menorah as well. Both have to be there all the time. They both have to be there all the time, and therefore we have to be careful that it shouldn't become tamei, because otherwise we'll have a real issue. Vidach, and the Tan of our Mishnah, what does he do with the pasuk of a menorah noichach ha-shulchan? Says the Gemara, who l'kavay makom hudasa. It's here to tell us that it should be there where it should be, that the menorah is on the south side and the shulchan is on the north side, but they're corresponding in the same spot to each other. But ask the Gemara, why are we concerned about the shulchan becoming tamei? We know that the shulchan was made out of wood, plated with gold. But ask the Gemara, but typically, they have a kliyos ha'osu l'nachasu, that it's a kliyos that's meant to be stationary. And the halacha is, v'kol kliyos ha'osu l'nachas, any kliyos that's meant to be stationary, loy tamei, doesn't become tamei. And the Gemara explains, my tamei, why? Says the Gemara, because dumi the sakbinen. The Torah, when it says that kliyos can become tamei, says, v'kol kliyos ha'obegged ha'or, ha'sak. So the Torah connects a kliyos to a sak. Dumi the sack bina. So therefore, kliyets is like a bag. Ma sack metalta moli v'rekam. Just like a bag is moved when it's full or it's empty. Afka metalta moli v'rekam. So to the only time a kliyets that becomes tamei is only if it's not movable. If it's movable, like a sack. And that's the same reason why eights that are pshute kliyets, eights that are meant that don't have a receptacle are also not tame. And the reason why eitz that doesn't have a receptacle is not tame is also because it has to be like a sack. A bag has a receptacle. So the shulchan was meant to be in one place all the time. If the shulchan is meant to be in the same place all the time, so then it wouldn't become tame anyway, even if the am aretz came in contact with it. So Tosfos asked the question, why is the shulchan considered kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas? The shulchan in the Mishkan was constantly on the move, constantly being traveling, and so too the shulchan was traveling. So why are we calling the shulchan, asked Tosfos, a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas? So first Tosfos suggests that our Gemara is not referring to the shulchan in the Mishkan. Our Mishnah is referring to the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan of Noi V'Givon, where there they were constantly, where they were kept in one spot. But Tosfos himself is not satisfied with that teretz, because Tosfos himself suggests that the shulchan, that since the shulchan in the Mishkan was constantly on the move, so that takes the shulchan out of the category of a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas. And why is our Gemara calling it a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas? So Tosfos in Masechta Menachos gives a different answer to this question. Tosfos says that the place of the shulchan is in the Mishkan. Yes, at times it was moved, but its place is in the Mishkan, and therefore, since its place is in the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash, it's still considered a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas. That's the teretz that Tosfos suggests. The Tosfos HaRosh gives a different teretz. Tosfos HaRosh says that yes, as we just said, and we know that the shulchan at times was moved when they were in the Mishkan. But even though the shulchan at times was moved in the Mishkan, it still didn't serve any purpose when it was moving. When did it serve its purpose? It served its purpose when it was in the Mishkan. And when it was in the Mishkan, obviously, it was in a stationary as one spot. That's why, even though, yes, at times it's moved, it's still considered a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas. Says the Gemara, Hai Nami, the shulchan is not a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas, because metaltam al v'rekenhu, it is sometimes moved. K'rei shlok yishtam reshlok shmaidik siv, the pasuk says, v'samtam oisam al shulchan ha'tahor. The Torah calls the shulchan ha'tahor. Bechlal, that means shu tamei, that it's able to become tamei. And the question immediately comes up, amai, how is it able to become tamei? Isn't it a kli eitz ha'osu l'nachas uve'enim kabel toma? El melamed, the shulchan was not always kept in one spot. What they would do is, shoy menichen oisoi, they would pick it up, omarin by l'oil regalim, and they would show it off to the oil regalim, and they would show that the lechem upon him, v'amrim lahem, and as they showed the people the lechem upon him, they would say, "Ruchi baschem l'fnei amokim." Look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Silukai kisiduroi. When they took the lechem upon him out of the shulchan every Shabbos, it was warm like it was put in on the previous Shabbos. Damar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, nice gadol nasa b'lechem upon him. There was an incredible nace that happened with the lechem upon him. Siduroi kach silukash. Never lost some lechem choyim b'yoyim hilachay. The lechem was warm as it takes it out, like when it was put in. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show how much He loved us, that He made us this nace, and they would take this, pick it up by the oil regal to show them. So the Ritva discusses, how do we know, how did the people standing outside, were they able to tell that the warm was wet, was still fresh? Tosfos says it wasn't that it was obvious that it was warm. Tosfos says it was still fresh. But the Ritva, Masechta Yuma, says that the lechem upon him, as they took it out of shulchan, smoke, vapor, was rising from the bread, like when you have warm bread, and therefore they were able to know how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us. But the Ritvaz was asked that the shulchan was in the Heichel, and the halacha is that Yisraelim are not allowed to even go into the Heichel, they're not allowed to even approach the door of the Heichel. So the question is, How were they able to see that the bread was fresh or not when they are so distant? So the Rishonim discuss how we answer that question. So he says that the Ritva says that at that moment, in order to show off to Klal Yisrael how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us, they were allowed to enter the Heichal. Another explanation is that you're not allowed to do so, but they say that the vapor came up and they were able to see that vapor rising. The Yerushalmi seems to answer that they picked up the Shulchan and they carried it to the entrance of the Heichal. And by carrying it to the entrance of the Heichal, that's how everybody was able to see the Shulchan and the Lechem. The Chazon Ish says that this is the Chiddush that the Torah says. The Chiddush that the Torah is teaching us, in order to show off how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us, he allowed us to move the Lechem to the Shulchan, to the entrance, which is normally not allowed to do, just to show off how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Klal Yisrael. So I saw that Eli Gutmacher explains the reason they did this nace for the Oyle Regalim, that the Pasuk says that when people went to be Oyle Regal and they had to leave their homes and their property, the Torah guarantees them V'lo yachman ish esar tzecha. They showed this to the Oyle Regalim, that Panosa is in the hands of Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make that bread should stay warm for a week. So you don't have to worry that you're taking it off for a week, you're leaving your home, you're leaving anything, what's going to be. We see from here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could guarantee our panasa wherever we are, and therefore they specifically showed them the Lechem HaTamid. Ask the Gemara, but typically, we just had a discussion that how does the Shulchan ever become Tamei? Isn't it a Kli Eitzah Nosul Nachas? But ask the Gemara that's meant to be stationary. But ask the Gemara, for typically, why don't we say that there's a concern because of the Tzipui? There was gold plating. Gold is always Mekabel Tumah. Dotanan. And the Gemara now goes into the Mishnah Masechta Kelim, Perichov Gimel Chabez Mishnah Aleph, that says a Shulchan a table, or Hadofaki. Hadofaki is, Rashi says, that it's a foldable chair that's meant to, not a chair that's meant to sit on, explains the Siach Yitzchak. It's meant to use to keep things on. And the Mishnah says, Hashulchan Hadofaki Shenifchasu, that part of the flat space is missing, or shechifim b'shayish, or they were plated with marble, but v'shaybem, but they left a place, makom anachas kosis, where they could put cups, tamei, the mekabel tuma, because since they have a place that could be used, that's considered still a keli that's usable. And a keli that's covered with marble, even if they have this much space open, it's not called a Kli Evin, it's a Kli Eitz, and it's Mekabel Tumah. Rudaimer, Makam Anachas Chatichas, in order that there should be Mekabel Tumah, it's not enough that it should have enough space to put the cups, it has to have enough place to put portions of the meat and the bread that's served. So here we see that if something is coated with gold, it gets the din of gold. And gold is Mekabel Tumah. We're seeing that as soon as it's covered, it's no longer considered a Kli Eitz. So here, if it was covered with gold, why is it not Mekabel Tumah? V'chi Tema, and if you want to answer, Shani Atzi Shetim, the Chshiv V'loi Batli, that with wood that was used to make the Shulchan was Atzi Shetim, and Atzi Shetim are very significant, and since they're very significant, they remain the primary material from which this Keli was made. Hanich L'Resh Lakish, so says the Gemara, that would work according to Resh Lakish, Amaloy Shanu, this din that we follow the coating, Elabakli Akslagim, only by vessels made out of this type of wood, which is obviously not a very significant wood, Habayim Medina Sayam. Ab Bakli Masmim, if it's a wooden keli, which made out of expensive wood, it always remains a wooden keli and loy batli. So therefore, shaper, that's why the shulchan is called as shulchan of eitz, because it's made out of a significant type of wood. We don't look at the coating, we look at the wood. But ask them, when according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says a filo masmim, even if it's made out of significant wood, we don't look at the keli, we look at the coating, mayikala meimer, v'chitema. So says the Gemara, if you want to say, the Mishnah that says that we follow the coating, we follow the plating, is talking about a coating that's very attached to it. It was nailed on. But if it's not nailed on, then it's not considered significant. And therefore, since it's not considered significant, we don't follow the plating. Ask the Gemara, Habaymine Rish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. But we learned that Rish Lakish asked the question from Rabbi Yochanan. Tzipi Oymed, when we speak of this din in the Mishnah Masechta Taharis, in Masechta Kelim that we just mentioned, does it have to be a coating, a plating that's attached, or Tzipi She'en Oymed, or doesn't require that? Tzipi Achoyfe Gamas Levavzvav, does it also have to be a coating that covers the rim of the keli, or She'en Achoyfe Slavzvav, or doesn't have to cover the rim? We always follow the plating. So if we always follow the plating, so we're back to our question, why is this considered a wood keli? So Rashi says that what does it mean, tzipi oimid? That it means that it was attached with nails. Tosfos doesn't say that it has to have nails. It has to be easy or difficult to take off. Another pshat is, it's not dependent or easy or difficult to take off or how it's attached. The difference is, if it's a significant, if it's a thicker plating, then the halacha is that it's considered, we follow the coating, the plating. If it's not thick, then it's not considered that material. So we're back to our question. Why did Rav Shlakish say that the shulchan is mekabel tumah? Because it's meant to be moved. And therefore, it's not a kli eisasul nachas. We could have said a much easier answer. It's metzupazov. And gold is always mekabel tumah. Answers the Gemara. Shani shulchan. The shulchan is different. Rechmana karyait. The Torah calls the shulchan a shulchan shalait. The ksiv, the pasuk says in Yecheskel, there the pasuk describes how the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi will look, and the Malach showed Yecheskel how the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi will look, and the pasuk says, HaGemizbeach Eitz Shlosh Amis Gvaya V'Hakash Dei Amis U'Mektsoysov Loi V'Arka V'Kiroysom Eitz. So we see that it's considered a wooden keli. So it's very clear that the shulchan is considered gold. And the Gemara makes an interesting observation. Pasach, if we learn that pasuk, the pasuk begins speaking about the mizbeach. The sayim, but the pasuk concludes by speaking about the shulchan. Says the Gemara, B'yachan Reish Lakish Tami Tavayu, to teach us a very important lesson. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, so we know if somebody, Rechman Letzlan, did an Aveira, he brought a carbon. And that was Mechapal Adam, by bringing the Kabbonis. Achshav, now we're, unfortunately we don't have a Mizbeach, what affects our Kabbonis? What affects the Kapara? Shulchan Shal Adam Mechapalov. It's the Shulchan that we eat by that brings a Kapara. And because the Shulchan is considered like the Mizbeach, the halacha is, that's why many halachas of the shulchan are learned, of a table that we eat at, are learned from the Mizbeach. Number one, what's pshat that the shulchan is shal adam mechaper? So many explain, the shulchan is shal adam mechaper means that when we invite guests to eat at our table, that's why we have a kapara. In fact, I saw a beautiful pshat that Bizman Azeh, there are many that have a minig to eat a suda on Rosh Chodesh. Why do we eat a suda on Rosh Chodesh? Because when the Beis HaMikdash stood, they brought, as the Gemara says, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, a viu soyer, that we should bring a carbon on Rosh Chodesh l'chaper. It should affect the kapara for us who that Hashem v'Hakadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol al shemi'atati as he yerech. So that was the way that that kapara was affected. But b'zman hazeh, we don't have the ability to bring the carbon. So we make a sudas Rosh Chodesh, that's where we have a kapara. So as we said, Rashi says that that's how the kapara is, by inviting guests to our table. The Ravid, however, says that what should a person do? A person should either fast to have a kapara. So how do we say the Shulchan Aruch Adam is mechaper? So says the Ravid that if somebody is served a portion and then he holds back and he doesn't eat everything that he was served, that is the biggest kapara, that you don't eat everything you want to eat. And this is what's known as the Tainus HaRavid. And that's why the Sefer Yalkut HaMe'iri explains, that's what the Gemara means here, Shulchan Aruch Adam mechaper. When a person sits by the table and he's served a delicious meal with all types of food and he holds back and he doesn't eat everything that he's served, that is Shulchan Aruch Adam mechaper. That's the way that the person certainly has a kapara. And that's why the halacha is that salt should always be brought to the table. That's why the minig is that we don't leave the metal knives on the table when we say Birchas HaMazon. Because the pasuk says in the construction of the Mizbeach, Lo'sonef aleihem barzel, we shouldn't use metal in the construction of the Mizbeach. And the reason is because the Mizbeach is here to be marach as Yom of Shel Adam. It helps us have life. And metal is what causes our lives to be cut off. That's what weapons were made of. And that's why it's appropriate that we should take the metal off the table when we say Birchas HaMazon from the Shulchan. That the Magen Avraham, however, says in Siman Kuf Pei Sif Hei, that the minig is that in Shabbos V'Yontif we're not makbid. The Shulchan Aruch says that we should take off the knives from the table, the metal knives from the table, but not Shabbos and Yontif. Because on Shabbos and Yontif, we don't build the Mizbeach. And since on Shabbos and Yontif, we don't build the Mizbeach, so we don't have to make a commemoration of L'sonef aleihem barzel. Another pshat is that we should bring another pshat in comparing the Shulchan to the Mizbeach, just like the Mizbeach, the halacha is very strict, that we can't use an animal that has any mum. We should always bring, certainly on Shabbos, that's part of the halacha of Lechem Mishnah, but even during the week, it's appropriate not to bring to the table a whole bread. Just like we bring a whole animal, we should bring a whole bread to the table. So we learned in the Mishnah, Kol HaKelim Shel Migdash, all the kelim that were in the Migdash, Yesh Lam Shniim, they had backup. Says the Gemara, and then Rabbi Lezer says that all the kelim in the Mes Migdash require tefillah, except for the Mizbeach Azov and the Mizbeach and the Chayshus, because they're considered karka. And anything that's mechubal karka is not mechubal tuma. Says the Gemara, Mizbeach, the Chayshus, why is it considered karka? Except because the pasuk says Mizbeach Adom Tassali. What about the Mizbech Hazov? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says regarding the Mizbech Hazov, HaMenoira VaMizbechos. The Pasuk uses the Lashon Rabbim when it speaks about the Mizbechos. To teach us, Ishkes HaMizbechos Elazeh. The two Mizbechos are connected. So if the Mizbech and the Choshes is called a Mizbech HaAdama, it's considered earth. So too, this is considered something that's made out of earth. Then we learned in the Mishnah that the Chacham Omrim Mimnei Shem Mitzupim. So Posh Pshat in the Mishnah means that because these Mizbeichos are coated, that's why they're not Mekabel Tumah. Because we were discussing the Mishnah, why the Mizbeach is not Mekabel Tumah. But ask the Gemara, on the contrary, Adrabba, Kivin the Mitzupinenu, since they're coated, so it's not a wood keli. And if that are not a wood keli, so then that's meant to be in one place, so then they ought to become tamei. So says the Gemara, the first teretz, Ema, indeed, Vecham Metamim, that they do become tamei, Mimnesha Mitzupim, that even though they're made out of earth, the opinion of the Chacham is that even though it's called Mizbeach Adama, but since they have this gold coating, that makes it be considered like a metal keli, which, as we've been learning, a metal keli is actually mekabel tuma. And the Seich Yitzchak says, I, the Torah, calls it a mizbech adama. The Seich Yitzchak says that it's obviously coming to teach us a different limud. Vibay Seima, another way of understanding the Mishnah is Rabbanan l'Rabbi Elazar Kamri. The Rabbanan were addressing Rabbi Elazar, and they said, my datach, what's your reason to call them? What's your reason to say that they're tar because they're called adama? Mishum de mitzupim, because they're coated, and because they're coated, they should be considered kli matris, says the Gemara. The Rebbe Elazar says, mitl batl tzitu in gabayu, the coating is considered insignificant. So according to Rashi's explanation, what the Gemara is trying to say is that the fact that they're mitzupim is a reason that they ought to be tamei, but just the Gemara teaches us that they're not tamei. Why are they not tamei? The reason they're not tamei is because we don't look at the coating, we look at the actual mizbeach, and the mizbeach is considered a mizbech adoma. The Rambam has a different way of learning this Gemara. The Rambam's way of learning this Gemara is that that the tzipuyim is a reason that they should be tohor, because he says, the Rambam has a very interesting approach. On one hand, the tzipuyim are metal, but the tzipuyim are not significant. But they're significant enough, according to the Rambam, that they should make that we don't look at the mizbeach, we don't look not at the tzipuy and not at the keli. Amar avu amar blazer, Tamid chachamim, ein or shel gehenim. If they did any averis, ein or shel gehenim shalatzpem. The fire of gehenim cannot prevail over them. We learn a kavachamim a salamandra. There's an animal, a salamandra, is a type of an insect that's created out of fire, and that masandra, shatoldus eishi, that is a derivative of fire. The halach is, hasok medoma, if somebody smears his body with the salamandra blood, ain't or shalatis boy. It cannot have any effect on him. Talmid chachamim, shakol gufanesh. So certainly talmid chachamim that are completely made out of fire. How do we know that talmid chachamim are considered completely fire? Because says the Gemara, the pasuk says, haloi koi dvorai ke'esh, unom Hashem, halachs kam v'kama. Certainly the fire cannot have any effect on them. And there's a very beautiful vart. The Tosfos over here describes what the salamandra is. And Tosfos says that when the Torah speaks about the Shemayna Shmrotzim, the Torah says, Ha-chalad ve'achbar, those are the Shemayna Shmrotzim, and teaches us that's the salamandra. Why does Tosfos have to teach us that? To teach us that we would say that the reason the Mizbeach doesn't get burnt, as we're about to learn, is because they smeared it with the salamandra. Teaches us Tosfos that the salamandra is tamei. If the salamandra is tamei, they certainly did not smear the Mizbeach with the salamandra. So it must be that the Mizbeach, as we're about to learn, didn't get burnt. And so too is the halacha on Talmid Chachamim. Amar Reish Lakish, Ein Or Shel Gehenim Shaletus Pashi Yisrael. The Or of Gehenim cannot even affect the Pashi Yisrael, because we learn in the Kavachayim from the Mizbeach Azov. Ma Mizbeach Azov, She'en Alav El Ka'ir Ve'Dinri Azov. It has a thin layer of gold. Kamishonim Ein Or Shaletus Pa, and there was a constant fire on it, and still didn't break or burn the Mizbeach. Pashi Yisrael, Shemalei Mitzvahs Kariman. The Pashi Yisrael that are full of mitzvahs, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, "Kepela chamirim and rakosech, atikir rakosech, ela rikonim shabach." Alachas kama v'kama, that it doesn't have an ability to, it doesn't have the effect, ability to affect them. So here it says that talmid chachamim ain or shel gehenim shalatis b'hem. So the Belzer Rebbe asked, why would a tzaddik be in gehenim? So Rav Aaron Belzer says that of course a tzaddik doesn't go into Gehenim. But what it means to say is that the Talmud Chacham, as he leaves the world, and we had this concept early in the Masechta about Rabbi Yochanan, as a Talmud Chacham leaves the world and he passes, and he's going to Gan Eden, he passes Gehenim. And Talmidei Chachamim are constantly concerned about the Rishoyim. And therefore the Talmidei Chachamim schlep out the Rishoyim from Gehenim. And that's, and the Gemara is teaching us when they schlep out the them from Gehenim, they don't have to worry about the fire having any effect on them. So the Tashbatz asks, why is our Gemara bringing a raya from the Mizbech Azov, which only had the Ketoris that was put on it on a daily basis? Shouldn't the Gemara have brought a raya from the Mizbech HaNechoshes, the Mizbech HaChitzen, that has fire on it all the time? So the Tashbatz says, the fire that was on the Mizbech HaChitzen is a fire that comes from Shemayim. The fire that comes from Shemayim is a completely different type of fire. So we can't bring a raya from the fire on the Mizbeach HaChitzen. Whereas the Mizbeach HaPnimi was a regular fire. And therefore, it's much better a place to bring a raya. So here the Gemara is saying something that's very difficult to understand. The Gemara is saying that Pashi Yisrael don't have to worry about Gehenim. So the question Tosfos asks is that we know a Pashi Yisrael is a person who did terrible averis. So how can we say that a Pashi Yisrael doesn't have to worry about Gehenim? So Tosfos answers that our Gemara is not speaking about regular Pashi Yisrael. Our Gemara is speaking about they were partially Pashi Yisrael. But somebody who's a full-fledged Pashi Yisrael, those people will indeed fall into Gehenim versus anyone else. Of course, the other question is that how do we equate a Pashi Yisrael to a Talmud Chacham? And we're saying all of them don't have to worry about Gehenim. So the Chasam Sofer answers, a Talmud Chacham doesn't need a nace that the Or Shel Gehenim shouldn't affect him. The Talmud Chacham has his own Zchusim. The Pashi Yisrael is not in his own Zchus. The Pashi Yisrael is only B'Zchus, the Talmid Chachamim. I saw a Medrash that says that Avram Avinu sits by the door of Gehenim and does not let Rishoyim to go into Gehenim, anybody that had a Bris Milah. So they're both not affected by the fire, but it's not the same type of fire. The fire, the type of nace. It's a whole different nace that the Pashi Yisrael have versus the nace of the Talmid Chachamim. And the Gemara says, why are the Pashi Yisrael not affected? Because the Pashi Yisrael are not affected because the Malay Mitzvah Kariman. So I saw the Mefarshim try to understand, what does it mean that the Malay Mitzvah Kariman? So I saw, we actually had this concept earlier, when the Gemara discusses how Rameya learned Torah from Acher. And the Gemara says that Rima Matzah, he found the Rimain, Klipasa Zorak, he threw away the shell, the Toicha Ochel, he ate what was inside. What does that mean, he ate on the inside? It means that on the outside, there might have been things that Acher did, there were certainly things that Acher did that were inappropriate. But did that not have any effect on what he was on the inside? And the inside, every Jew is Malay Mitzvahs Karimayim. And the inside, every Jew is a Yerushimayim. He has that Pintaliyid. Sometimes the outside gets affected. And therefore, the Gemara says that the Or Shel Gehenim is not on effect the Pashi Yisrael. Because even though we might have seen them do Averis Chas V'Sholem, it's not a change who they are. Of course, I did see that the Gra says, again, back to a subject that we just mentioned a moment ago, the Gra finds it very difficult to accept that Pashi Yisrael and Talmid Chachamim are treated in the same way. And he says that it's not exactly the same way. What does it mean that it's not considered exactly the same way? So explains the Gra, when you smear something with the salamandra blood, it's like a flame retardant. That means the fire is attaching it and it's repelling it. But a Talmid Chachamim, it's not that the fire attaches itself, Chas V'Shalom, to Talmid Chachamim and they repel it. On the contrary, they are not affected by the fire of Gehenim at all. And that's what makes the Talmid Chachamim greater than the Pashi Yisrael. If we're learning here, I saw that the Gemara is saying, Ein Or Shel Gehenim, Shoilet, B'Pashi Yisrael, and we're discussing and what is the difference between Shpash Yisrael and Talmid Chachamim, then certainly somebody who is Mekadosh Hashem, the definition of a Parsha Yisrael is somebody who creates a Chil Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. So we talk about people who, on the contrary, are not Parsha Yisrael, but the Mekadoshi Hashem, certainly they have nothing to worry about of Gehenim. People who live their lives on Kiddush Hashem, and certainly people who gave up their lives on Kiddush Hashem, such individuals will be going to Gan Eden, will have lives living on Kiddush Hashem is even greater than dying on Kiddush Hashem. And these individuals who live their lives for Kiddush Hashem, those are the people that certainly don't have to worry about Gehenim. Those are the people that will have Gan Eden. But not only will they have Gan Eden in the next world, but they will have Gan Eden in this world. People who attach themselves to Torah, people who are learned the Torah, people who are individuals who are Oivdei Hashem, people who do mitzvahs, people who bring up their families to do mitzvahs, loimdei daf hayomi that are consistent and committed to learning Torah, certainly those are the mekadshei Hashem, that not only will they not have or shel gehenim, they will have the or lehudim hoysa oyra v'simcha. Harim lachayim v'kodesh v'slikalach v'sachta chagigah.